بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله ما بعد. You're listening to Islam Tomorrow. We're broadcasting live today. We're in Upland, California. And it's beautiful here in California. It's not real sunny today, but it's still beautiful because we're here in the Islamic Center called Al-Nur Islamic Center. We've got some guests with us today, not Muslims. Let's take a peek and get the cameraman to turn the camera on everybody here and give everybody a chance to give us a big salam. Salam alaikum. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yeah, we're having a pretty good time here today. And do we have anybody with us today that's not Muslim? Raise your hand. Any one? This one? Two? Any others? Well, you're most welcome. You're most welcome here, and we hope that you'll enjoy yourself, and we hope we'll all learn something together and share together in this chance to be together here in Upland, California. And I'm your host, Yusuf Estes, the National Muslim Chaplain, and we're going to be talking about some of the questions that have come up to us today, and let's see what we got. Okay, we'll begin by asking some of the questions, what Muslims believe. Is it true, it asks us the question, that all religions except Muslims go to hell? Question number one. Is it true that all people go to hell except Muslims? When I ask you a question, do you know what a Muslim is? Because if you don't know what a Muslim is, then it will be a strange answer for you. But let's begin by talking about what is a Muslim. It's an Arabic word. And it doesn't mean like a Christian. A Christian means somebody who follows Jesus Christ. It comes from the word Christos in Koine Greek, and whoever follows Christ is a Christian. So in that sense, we're also Christians, if you're just going to use that, because we follow what Christ taught too. However, we're more than that because we also do something else that this word Muslim means. Now, what about Jews? What is a Jew? And I'm going to tell you that that's very limited. Whereas the word Christian was very wide, the word Jew is very narrow and very limited. Because in order to be a Jew, you have to be from the tribe of Judah. And if you're not from the tribe of Judah, you cannot really be a Jew. You can join them and you can enter into their synagogue and you can claim to be a member, but in reality, how can you change your bloodline? So if you're born a Jew, you're a Jew. That's where they get the idea that they're the only ones that are saved, because they have the bloodline of the saved group of the 12 tribes. That's one narrow interpretation. So let's now look to the word Muslim. Muslim is coming from not the name of a tribe, and it's not the name of a person. Muslim comes from a verb. It comes from the word Islam. What is Islam? Islam is a word in Arabic which means to surrender to God, to obey the Almighty, to submit to the authority of a higher power, and to do so in sincerity and in peace. Whoever does Islam, in English we'd call him an Islammer, right? But in Arabic, that has a prefix of mim or mu, and that shows you the one who is doing this action. So therefore, we're saying that the one who Islams is a Muslim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, God Almighty, in the Quran says that He will not accept human made-up religions. He will not accept people to make their own religions. He wants them to follow the religion that He ordered them to follow. He gave them more than a religion. He gave them something in Arabic called a deen, or a way. And whoever follows the way is the one who will be saved. And Jesus is reported to have said, "No man cometh unto the Father but by my way." Also, that the Apostle Paul, or Saul, depending on which name he used, he said that he used to kill and persecute the people of the way. He said they were never called Christians until they went to Antioch. So they were always called people of the way. What way? The way of Jesus. So if you said we are Christians in the sense that we follow what Jesus taught, yes, and by his way, even so, but even more so because he predicted that somebody would come after him. He said that the one who comes after me will be known as the Spirit of Truth. That's mentioned in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, chapter 16. He will also be known as the Comforter, the Counselor, the Advocate. And all of these names, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was called by long before he even knew he was a prophet. Additionally, he said his name will be Ahmed. But in the translations of the Bible, they changed that to be another word. But in fact, he is the all-praising one of Allah. And he praises and praises Allah so much. And this Ahmed is a sense of praising. And Muhammad is another form of the same word, Ahmed. So that we understand that everything in Islam means do what God wants you to do. So if you want to do what God wants you to do, and you're trying your best, you're already on the road to be a Muslim without knowing it. You don't have to know Arabic. You don't have to know the Quran. You don't have to know Muhammad. All you have to know is that there is a God, and you want to do what he wants you to do. And if that's what you're trying to do, then you might be a Muslim and you didn't even know it. But as you learn more what God wants you to do, you become responsible to do that. So once you find out that he has a prophet who has ordered you to do something, for instance, at the time of Moses, when Musa, alayhi salam, Moses, his real name is Musa, when he came, he said, I have some things you guys have to do. Here it is. These are revelation came to me on Turasin, Mount Sinai. And these commandments are so and so. And what's the first one we talked about in our program today? It says, you cannot have any partners in worship with God. That's blasphemy. That's the highest sin, and it's not forgiven to worship something God created. So if somebody did that, they worshiped the golden calf. That was what it was all about. Remember the story. It's mentioned in the Bible and it's mentioned in the Quran. They worshiped a golden calf and God didn't like that. He didn't want them worshiping this golden calf. So if you understood that that is something that's wrong, then you can't do that anymore. Then another commandment says that you have to honor your parents. Well, maybe you didn't know that before, but now you know it. And even if they treat you bad, you still have to treat your parents good. And then if you found another commandment which tells you that you have to worship God on a certain day and have a certain kind of program on that day, then it's not optional for you anymore. You have to do that. And if you find a commandment that says, don't eat any pork, then you can't do that anymore. If you find a commandment that says you can't drink alcohol, then you can't do that anymore without breaking a commandment. And if you break a commandment, then it's up to you to repent for that and ask for forgiveness. True repentance, by the way, means you're not going to do it anymore. So this is what Islam is teaching us, that there is only one religion. It's not one that Muhammad, peace be upon him, made up. It's not a religion Jesus made up, peace be upon him. It's not a religion made up by Moses or Abraham or Solomon or David or the prophet Jonah or the prophet Job or any of the prophets. It's a religion or a way of life that God has ordained for the believers. For those who don't believe, let them go their way. Don't push them. But for those who believe and want to know how to do more, then encourage them to look to the truth. There's only one God. And he has only one way to get to him. And that way is by what? Believing in him and doing what he's ordered you to do. The Old Testament and the New Testament both insist on doing God's commandments or his will. And when they asked Jesus, according to what remains of the Bible anyway, the Bible tells us in the book of Mark, chapter 12, verse 28 and 29, when they asked him about the great commandment, he said, the greatest commandment of all is to know, O Israel, the Lord your God is one God, and you have to worship him with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul. And he says, and then I give you another commandment like that. That's that you have to love you for your neighbor. He said you have to love your neighbor as yourself. Now Islam is having this. We have to love God more than anything. If we don't, we can't be a Muslim. If there's something in this creation that you love more than the one who created it, you just lost everything. But if you're willing to love him and be devoted to him, if you're willing to do your best to to be devoted to Him, then you've done the right thing. You're doing your best. So, it's God who has said this, not Muslims. It's Allah Almighty who has made this big commandment. Follow His way, not your way, not something that you make up. So those who make up their own religions, the man-made religions, of course they're going to go to hell. That's the whole point. If I can make up a religion and because I made it up I get to go to paradise, why bother? Trust me, if I'm going to make up a religion and I know it's going to work, it's going to include some golf in there, and it's going to include some time at the Bahamas, it's going to include an easy life here. But it's not my way. I don't get to make this up. This is from God. He's the one who causes the rain. He's the one who causes the sun. He's the one who gives you good. He's the one that tests you with evil. And it's up to Him to tell you what the religion is. If you want a religion other than His religion, He'll never accept that. And you'll be amongst the losers. And that's a promise from Him in Surah Al-Imran. When He says that, وَمَمْ يَبْتَغِي غَيْرُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينَ. If anybody wants a religion other than the way that Allah has ordained for them, then he is not obliged to accept that. He won't accept it, and in the hereafter they'll be amongst the losers. And as far as this way, it came to the chosen ones, and that was the way shown to them. They were chosen to receive the guidance, but later they rejected it. Their prophet came and brought them the guidance, but they rejected it and worshipped the calf, and he threw down the commandments and broke it. Is that true or false? And then also the other prophets came and prophesied for their followers and brought them the way. And again, they rebelled and turned away. And then Jesus came and he preached, peace be upon him, he preached this same message, the way of God. Follow the way of God. And there's no other way you can get. It says it even in the Bible today. No man cometh unto the Father but by my way. Hello, what do you think that means? You have to follow what Jesus did. And Jesus never prayed to himself. And he never prayed to a cross. He prayed directly to Almighty God above. And he ordered his companions to do the same thing. When you pray, pray like this. And he ordered them to pray directly to God above. And sanctify the name of God. Hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the meaning of Islam itself. When you want to do what God wants you to do, when you're trying to do the will of God here on earth, following those commandments, that's the word, Islam. Look it up in the Arabic Mawrid in the dictionary and see for yourself. Hello, hello. And you say, well, wait a minute. In the news, they didn't tell me that. In the magazine article, it didn't say that. On TV, it didn't say that. Well, I'm telling you that there's 1.5, what is it, billion? Billion Muslims on the earth today that will tell you unanimously that's what we believe, that's what we do. Hello? You say, yeah, but this newspaper said this. Uh-huh. What else did they lie to you about? Well, the TV said this. Okay. And I'm going to ask you a question. How many people would watch TV if they turned on and they said, well, in the news today, some people were real nice and they helped an old lady across the street. Some other people gave charity today. Some people prayed down at the local synagogue or at the local church, and some Muslims were praying and people were singing and happy together. And that's what happened today. Nobody will watch that kind of news. They want to hear about blood and death and gore. They want to hear about rapes, mutilations. They want to hear about traffic accidents. They want to hear about earthquakes. They want to hear about tornadoes. They want to hear about good stuff. And when there's nothing bad that happens, they have to make it up. Or at least corrupt the truth enough that you'll watch it. So you think about the source of where you got it from. But the Bible teaches you real clear, there's one God. Worship Him. And the Quran teaches you the same thing. Why don't we look for where we're together and stop looking at the points where other people have tried to make us separated? You might find out, guess what? Here's a big surprise for you. Muslims believe all of us came from one man, Adam. And from him came his mate. And from those two came all of the human beings all over the earth. And that's in the Quran, chapter 49. Go read it. Look at it for yourself and think. If all the human beings came from one man and one woman, then we must all be brothers, yes or no? Are we brothers, yes or no? And do we love each other for the sake of this? It's not called brothers in faith, but we're brothers in humanity. How can you deny that? And we have people trying to tell us today that we came from monkeys. And that's so that they can say, well, the people from Africa, the black people, must be lower than the white people. And they preached this kind of message for several hundred years in this country before they got caught. And they could prove beyond any shadow of a doubt it wasn't true what they said about black people having thicker skulls and having less mentality. In fact, some of the smartest people on earth happen to be black-skinned. But Allah doesn't look at the skin, because He's the one who created all that to start with. He looks at the heart. And all the hearts are red, except for those that are so sick they become black. That's the worst kind of black there is to have a blackened heart. But we don't care about people's skin color. We don't care about their nationality. We don't care about their language as Muslims, because we know Allah loves the one who loves Him. The one who serves the Lord is the one that's in the highest standing. Now, does anybody want to take exception to what I said and argue with me and tell me, no, I don't believe that. I think my religion is better than everybody else's. Tell me, what's your religion that's so good that it's better than the one God ordained for us? That was the first question. Second question. If a woman does not wear hijab, do they go to hell? Well, I'm going to ask you a question. Did Allah order you to wear hijab? Yes or no? Did He? Where is it? It's in the Quran, yes or no? Once or twice? Once or twice? Okay, if you know the Quran, don't say. Let the other people learn something, okay? Yes, it's twice in the Quran. Surah An-Nur, chapter 24, verse 31. Surah Al-Hasab, chapter 33, verse 59. Did you know that? Do you know the verse numbers? You didn't? Okay, you learned something today. Okay. Alhamdulillah. Allah ordered it, but will they go to hell? What did Allah say? He said, if somebody makes partners with Him in worship, He will never forgive them. But if they didn't do that, then it's okay. Allah could forgive them. He might forgive them. But even if they go to hell, they can get out eventually. So if you sisters don't want to wear hijab and you don't mind going to hell for a few 100,000 years, then go ahead. Duh. But by the way, not having hijab does not make her not a Muslim. But if she refuses to pray, that does, because that's a main commandment. Right after belief is the prayer. Whoever refuses to pray and worship Allah as He's ordered to be done, he has not yet entered Islam. He's on the verge. He's really close. But so far, he's just got chin music. He's just talking. Okay? He's not there yet. But when they begin the salah, that's a Muslim, and you have to honor them as a Muslim. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, taught us, whoever is believing la ilaha illallah, he establishes his worship, and he pays his zakat, the poor do, then he's Muslim. This is Muslim. And you give them full treatment as such. Is that true or false? Did he say that? Words to that effect. So will she go to hell? The answer to that one is what? I don't know. It's up to Allah to decide that, isn't it? But I wouldn't take that kind of chance. Huh? That's like asking me the question, can I run my car on that little spare donut? You know, that spare tire in the back, we call it the donut. Can I put donuts all around my car and run down the road, go all the way to Louisiana and back? Huh? Could I? Yeah, maybe. It's not very smart. It's kind of stupid. You're asking for trouble. But I'm not going to tell you you can't. I don't know. It's not advisable. It said, is it true that the fourth prophet was already sent to earth? If not, will there be a fourth prophet? You misspelled prophet, by the way. This word prophet that you use means a gain on your money. Okay, but I'm assuming you mean a messenger from God. And the fourth prophet, according to most of what we know, Adam being the first, okay, Idris is one of them, Noah is one of them. Then it could be after that Jonah. But what are you talking about, fourth prophet? We know at least 28 by name, and the prophet, peace be upon him, told us that there were more than 120,000. Is that the number? 120,000 prophets have come to this earth already. So I guess, what do you mean by four? And you must be a lot older than the rest of us, because we've already had 120,000. Hello, we just don't know all their names, but it's a moot point. There's no more prophets coming after Muhammad, if that's your question. Allah says in Surah Hasab, that's chapter 33, verse 40, Muhammad is not the father of any of your men, but he is the Khatam, which means the seal of all the Nubawa. How do you say it? Ambiya. But as it's mentioned in the Quran, it's not that way. It says Nabi'in. That's it. He is the seal of the prophets. Well, okay, that's that. We'll run into this pretty quick. Said, I'm responsible for teaching a new-to-Islam sister. What do I need to teach her, and where do I get help for the only-for-women things? I like the way you said that. That's cool. Only for women stuff. Right. Okay, first of all, alhamdulillah, and congratulations on the sister who came to Islam, and congratulations to the one helping her, because both of you, you're doing something amazing, and inshallah, you have big reward. Next of all, the thing to teach anybody, new to Islam, almost to Islam, is talk to them about God. What do we believe about God? Because many Muslims today have lost that. That's the biggest problem we have on earth today. We don't think about God enough. Ask the average Muslims. Ask your children right here. See these guys right here? Mr. Cameraman, will you turn the camera, please? Thank you. He's a nice guy. Okay. See, raise your hands up there. Wave at us. Come on. There you go. Yeah. Now I want to ask you guys a question. Can Allah do anything? You believe in Allah, yes or no? You believe in Allah? Yes? Okay. Can Allah do anything? Huh? Is there anything Allah can't do? Huh? You don't know. You guys are too shy. Okay, what's the answer? Yes. Yes, what? Yes, anything. Yeah? Can he lie?
No.
Okay, then he can't do everything, can he? There's a difference between the word anything and everything, isn't there? When we say he can do anything, we mean he can do anything he wants to do, right? Yeah, but he doesn't want to lie, does he?
No.
Can Allah die?
No.
Never. That's dumb, right? So we wouldn't say things like that, would we? Now I'm going to ask you another question. Where is Allah? Where is Allah? Okay, what do you say? Where is Allah? Up in the sky. Well, how many say Allah is in the sky? Raise your hand. Allah is up. Raise your hand. Huh? If you believe Allah is up in the sky above all the creation, raise your hand. Well, everybody believes that here. This is a good crowd. MashaAllah. That's right. Allah said in the Quran, "Hu alladhi khalaqa as-samawati wal-ardh." He created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. And then he made istawa al-arsh. And he positioned himself over his throne. And this is what we as Muslims believe. So whoever believes that, then they're already on the right track. And that's something important in Islam. And if you said, I don't see why that's important, because if a person puts God in the creation, what will happen? The next thing they'll start saying they got God in them. And the next thing they'll start saying, well, they got a special contact with God, they can make up their own religion. And then what? And then you got the problem we just talked about. So that's a good point. And I love what you asked me, the thing about only for women things, okay? Sister, this is online. You can find it at some of the women's websites. You can also write to askislam@aol.com. We have the answers there for those things. And then also you can contact my wife. She's dealt with that. She used to be a Christian, Church of Christ, good old girl, she said. Now she's answering questions for some of the ladies. And inshallah, you write to us and we'll try to help you with that. It's a good question. It said, how did you become a Muslim? That's the easiest one for me to answer for you. Allah guided me. And I'm happy. I used to be a Christian. I was happy as a Christian. I became a Muslim. I became more happy. Because the questions I had as a Christian became answers as a Muslim. I loved God when I was a Christian. But I love Him even more now because I know how to worship Him the way the prophets worshipped Him. And I loved Jesus when I was a Christian. I love Him even more now because I want to see Him when He comes back on the earth. And I want to be with those people who are the righteous people when He returns. So that's how that comes about. If you want to know the whole story, though, the particulars, visit our website, IslamTomorrow.com, and click on the link that says priests and preachers who have gone to Islam. Now it says, what's my comment on current Iraqi crisis? You know what? That's a question I can't answer. You know why? I don't like to watch TV that much, and I heard a lot of stuff's been going on in the last week or two, and I missed it all. I was too busy reading the Quran and praying to God. I missed all those great things that you guys like to watch. Sorry. But as far as crisis, there's going to always be crisis in every country, everywhere. As long as people try to worship Almighty God alone without partners, they're always going to be tested. Isn't that true? But if we die for the sake of God, have we lost anything? Not at all. We gained everything. So let them kill us. Let them lie about us. Let them do what they will do. We'll be patient. And we'll be victorious in the next life. For sure, we'll lose nothing. If they want to, they can do what Allah will let them. But they'll never do anything that Allah doesn't let them do. They'll think they're victorious here, but you wait for the day of judgment and see who's the real victor. We'll be patient. We'll be calm. We'll pray for our enemies. We'll love the idea that they could come to our right way, and we ask them to at least consider the truth. And if they don't, that's their choice, but we did our best, inshallah. Now it said, did you really change your name to Yusuf? Why? Does somebody want to get married to me or something? Next question. It says... So what's the concept of Dajjal? What's the concept? Dajjal, by the way, in Arabic, it means false, not true. Al-Masih Dajjal. Masih means Messiah. Dajjal, false Christ. What's the idea of the Antichrist in Christianity and in Judaism? Well, Judaism doesn't have a concept of the false Christ. They're just looking for the Messiah. They did not accept Jesus when he came. They believed that he was, not real, that he was a liar. They believed that his mother never got married. And they said bad things against him, even to this day. So they don't know about this subject. But in Christianity, it's very clear if you read the book called the Book of Revelations, the last book in the Bible. And it teaches you about the Antichrist, and he's coming, and he's going to make a lot of people go the wrong way. But guess what? We have that in Islam too. We know in Islam that there is a false Christ that's coming. And he'll mislead a lot of people. He'll take them down the rosy path only to a very sad perdition. You like that word, perdition? It means hell. And he'll show the heaven as something good, as bad. And he'll show the paradise, you know, to the people, and they will think it's bad, and they'll go away from it. But he'll show them hellfire, but it'll look good to them, and they'll jump in, and it will be the hell. So this is one of the things. What's the concept of it in Christianity and Judaism? Well, I told you that. But in Islam, we know it's real, and we're very much aware of it, and we know when the false Christ comes, it won't be long until Jesus comes and destroys him, and we can't wait for that minute. And we welcome all of the Christians to join us in that, because we all want to be together on that day against the evil one. And also we welcome the Jews to wake up to the truth. Jesus is coming back. Hello. So may Allah guide all of us. It asks now, what is the relationship between Dajjal and the Masons? That's not very nice. I'm sorry for the Muslims who waste so much time on the internet and writing books and talking about things that they don't really have evidence for. Pay attention. You don't even know who is Allah. Worry about this subject. That I know Masons because our family been in the Masons for over 500 years. I know a lot of them. A lot of them work real hard in their churches. They sacrifice. They build hospitals. They do a lot of good works. None of them have secret plans to overthrow the planet. Okay? You're mixing them up with another group. And if you want to read about that, you can get a book called None Dare Call It Conspiracy, which was written about 30 years ago by Danforth. Read it for yourself and see who the real enemies are. But stop wasting your time chasing after feathers. Okay? And I know a lot of Muslims are writing books about this stuff, but the Masons have a secret organization, so it makes it fun for them to lie all they want to, because the Masons can't defend themselves and tell the truth, because it's a secret. But some Christians are doing the same things to them. There are Christians attacking the Masons too. But there are Masons that are Christians and some that are Jews. If some of them are evil and if some of them are doing wrong, what's the difference between them and the Muslims that do evil and do wrong? Nothing. Leave it alone. So what? Okay. It says Christian people do not believe in Jesus as a prophet. And Muslims do. All right, you made a statement here, and I'm going to tell you something. I don't like that. If you're the scholar, you want to give the class, then you wait till next week. If you want to ask me a question, ask me, but don't tell me, okay? I didn't sign up for your class. Christians do accept Jesus as a prophet, unless they don't believe in the Bible, because it says real clear in the New Testament that he was a prophet, and he even said that another prophet, like unto him who was going to come later, which is Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some Christians also believe he's God. Some also believe he's the son of a God. Some believe he's part of a trinity. Some believe all of the above. But their book says he's a prophet. He was called a prophet by some of those who followed him. He said, "Who do you say I am?" And they said, "You are a prophet." And he was happy with that. Okay? So don't say something without knowing what you're talking about. Ask, don't tell. How do you explain to the Christians that Jesus was a prophet? I just answered the question. They already know that, but they're adding more to it. How do you explain to them that he's not more than a prophet? How do you explain to them he's not God? If you know Tawheed, if you understand the three compartments, if you will, of Tawheed, you can't make that mistake. And I'm sorry to mention Arabic. I'll give you translation English. If you believe in monotheism, if you believe God is one, ultimately one, you won't make a mistake because God cannot be two things at one time and still be one. We don't say God can do anything because if you say that, then that means he can be a human and a man and a God and a son of a God all at the same time, and we don't say that. We say real clear what Allah says about himself. He is far and above all these kind of things that they make up about him as being something in the creation. Allah is never low life. Allah never has to go to the bathroom. Allah doesn't have to rest. Allah doesn't get confused. He doesn't curse a tree because it doesn't bear fruit. They attribute that to Jesus, by the way. They said he cursed the tree because he went over to it to get some fruit. It didn't have any ripe fruit for him, so he cursed it. Why would God do that? That's not God, is it? But is he the Word of God? And yes, he is. He is the Word of God because it says that in the Quran. Kalimatullah. And he is the one who is bringing a special message from God. Yes. He's created without a human father. But he has a mother. So how would that stack up against Eve? Eve had no mother. How does it stack up against Adam? He had no mother and no father. But you didn't worship them. But the Bible makes it clear on that point that you're using the wrong term when you say Son of God, because it clearly says in Luke chapter 3, verse 36, 38, the last verse of chapter in Luke, in chapter 3, look at it. It says, Enos is the son of Seth, and Seth is the son of Adam, and Adam is the son of God. So obviously, how could Adam be the son of God and Jesus is son of God? Psalms 2:7 says David is the son of God. Genesis 6:2 says they're all sons of God and they found the daughters of men. The second chapter of Job says that the sons of God were going to and fro and so and so and so. So they got all kinds of sons of God. They got tons of sons. So just explain to them that we believe in a real God. And we believe Jesus is a messenger of God. We put him up high. Yes, we do. That's true. You put him up high, we put him up high. He's right there by God. He's with God right now. Anybody doubt that? No. And he's coming back. I don't doubt that. But I'm not going to say he's God, because if I do, that means God's not perfect. God is not perfect that way. You say, well, wait a minute. We need Jesus on the cross to die for our sins. Remember, it's Paul who said he's the first one to preach that message. Who said this? Paul said that he's the first one to have the risen Christ. He's the one coming up with the idea that Jesus has to die for your sins. And then later writers had to follow up on what he said. Why? Because then it makes it easy for you. You don't have to repent so much. You just go, eh, okay, Jesus took all my sins away. But it also says in the Bible, Jesus is going to tell them on that day of judgment. They said, well, we cast out demons in your name. And we healed people. We did all these things in your name. And they say, Lord, Lord. And he says, I never knew you. He has the same kind of denial about that in the Quran when Allah asked him, did you tell these people to worship you and your mother as partners with me? And he said, if I said it, you'd have known it. You know what's in me. I don't know what's in you. I didn't say that. But if you punish them, that's up to you. But if you forgive them, if you let them off the hook, you're the all-knower and the all-wise. So that's what I recommend, is take time to learn about your religion and your God, and then share with them in a positive way. And if they don't like it, then leave it alone. You don't have to argue with everybody. You don't have to be a master debater. Just tell them what's what. You asked me the question about inviting people to Islam. How should this be conducted with those who are not Muslim here in America? Just like it is anywhere. Whenever the Prophet Muhammad sent his trusted servant, which was Mu'adh bin Jabal, when he sent him to Yemen, he ordered him to do something. He said, I'm sending you to the land of the Christians. The first thing you tell them about how God is one, and without any partners. This is very, very important. Because if a person understands that, Allah, he can forgive a lot of things from that person. But if they don't understand that, they're in deep trouble. Deep trouble. It's only Allah that guides, so we ask for his guidance. It's only Allah who forgives, so we ask for his forgiveness. And then, in closing, I'd like to ask if any of our guests today have understood this message today. If you understood the message that I delivered today, raise your hand and say, yeah, I understood that. If you liked it, keep your hands up. If you think you'd like to know more, keep your hands up. And if you'd like to say this with me, anybody, all of you got your hands up, just say this with me. I believe there's only one God. And I believe Jesus is his messenger. And I believe Muhammad is his messenger. Now you can say it with me in Arabic. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Wa ashhadu Muhammad Rasulullah. Wa ashhadu anna Isa Rasulullah. What you just said was, I bear witness that there's only one God to worship. And I bear witness that Muhammad and Jesus are his messengers. Yes, yes. Allahu Akbar. Oh, you can do better than that. Allahu Akbar. You can do better than that. Allahu Akbar. I can hear the girls over you. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. You're watching Islam tomorrow. We're having a good time today right here in Upland, California. Come and visit the new Islamic Center at An-Nur Islamic Center here in Upland. And while you're here, give the big salams to the brothers and sisters and tell them that Yusuf Estes sent you by, and give them the salams for us too. Till next time, this is Yusuf Estes, National Muslim Chaplain, reminding you only Allah is the guide. Ask him for guidance. And he is the peace. He's salam. Salam alaikum. Rahmatullahi barakatuh.